been a long, long, long time. You seem fucking confused in that.
Well,
that point.
I don't know. That's the
yeah. And go!
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 Welcome to As the Rotor Turns. This is going to be my opinion, Carlos, of the host, and the opinion of, hey, baby, I love you.
Hey.
I love you very much.
I love you.
And the opinion of little Corey.
Yep.
It's so funny. How many times has dad had to say that today? We'll get to that. And then, yeah, here's the voice.
Oh, hello.
Oh,
hello, everyone.
Hello.
Good evening.
Is a man wearing a cape?
The time is 9:05.
Yes, we're going to bring it back.
I'm bringing back capes.
I'll help you.
But it's not just a cape like Superman cape. I told him you have to have some creature or beast adorn across your shoulders for warmth.
I can do that.
And then the cape.
Oh, man.
I can do that.
And then the cape. Why not? Bring it back.
It's definitely Josh's opinion today. And then you have a couple other people. You know, Pablo's around here, Black Joe.
Yeah,
who's not black? It's funny. I've been asked that before.
Yeah,
they go, so you guys have a black guy that works with you named Black Joe?
I go, is he albino?
No, he's a white dude. This name because he's the second Joe that got here. So it's not. It's going to be their opinion, not the opinion of the Rescue Company One, not the opinion of Southeastern Medical Academy or International Consultants, and not the opinion of anybody that hires us or we work for them, or not my employer's opinion. Good Lord knows they have none, allegedly. And, yeah, so if you say anything that offends you, you should turn this off because I'm going to be extremely offensive in the next little bit.
Yeah.
So, show brought to you by Braxton College. You can get a lot of shit there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like what can you get there, Carlos?
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Josh, because, like, Trish doesn't ever, like, I'm like, we say the same commercials all the time.
She's staring at you.
She's staring at me very confused. Yeah, absolutely.
I wasn't confused.
Yeah, so you can get an EMS degree there.
No shit.
You can become a paramedic.
Okay.
There, you can become an EMT, which you need before you can go to paramedic school, a firefighter. You can get a fire science degree there. You get a bachelor's degree in nursing.
Oh, also nice. That's a good one.
Yeah. So Braxton College in beautiful Fort Myers, Florida.
It's nice.
Fort Myers, gorgeous.
Home of the Bulls.
Gorgeous.
Home of the Bulls. You know, so, yep. And show also brought to you officially, but unofficially, but officially, by Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer, PBR, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 1844.
They stopped making beer after that.
Yeah, exactly. That's when this thing won. They put a ribbon on it and done.
Yeah.
They're delicious and it screams America when you open it.
Well, I love it.
I do love it. It's delicious. Show also brought to you by Southeastern Medical Academy in the beautiful Florida Keys, Marathon, Florida. Don't go there during spring break, though. Fucking place is ridiculous. But, yeah, if you like to be a paramedic, a firefighter or an EMT, you should come down there.
Yeah.
Florida Keys.
It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. The Rescue Company One is also a sponsor of this show.
I think it's the sponsor of the show.
Well, we don't want to just point any fingers right away there, baby. And, yeah, you can get a lot of education here at the Rescue Company One.
Yeah.
You can get a lot of continuing education, a lot of, you know, preparations.
Sure can.
For different exams.
Are we going to talk about the one that was super popular today?
We can.
Or just in a little bit.
Sometimes you think that I can, I'm in your brain, and I'm not. I don't know what you're thinking. Absolutely
the
not.
The airway class?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Absolutely. You can come do that airway class. Just look, therescuecompany1.com.
Yep.
All right. That's it.
That's all.
Let's talk about the show today. What are we talking about today?
I'm guessing we're talking about the competition.
Yes. We're talking about the competition.
Yep.
I think it'd be in a little bit. We'll talk about the competition.
Oh.
We have some serious business to talk about. Did he text you?
He just opened it up.
He's ready to go whenever.
Yeah. We're going to have a guy call in. So you can just call in on your phone, I think, right? Or how can he do this?
All right, I'm going to give his number to Trish so she can call him. Is that how it's going to work?
He has an iPhone?
I'm sure, yeah.
So a little call. So, you know, so the this this job recently has had a very ugly thing to it. You know, and it's like we've talked about it on the show before. We're going to continue to talk about it on the show because it's a fucked up thing. You know,
mental health.
Yeah, mental health and suicides. Like, we can't fucking shake this shit. We can't shake it at all whatsoever. And this one hit me really hard. Like, this one is so fucking close, and it was.
Yep, right in our backyard.
Yeah,
department.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, Jeff Huggins was. I'll tell you my history. Like, his dad was one of my chiefs for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then Jeff was one of the explorers for the little short period of time I ran the explorer program at Orlando. He was one of the explorers there. And he's out of this group of explorers, which was pretty amazing because just about, I think I had 10 of them, and I think all 10 of them work at Orlando.
Nice.
Actually, I think 9 of them worked at Orlando. We have one guy that worked for 11. There's 11 of them. Two of them went to Orange County, work over there. The Blows brothers. It was as funny as shit. Like, what a last name, huh? And then Spencer Bashinsky, Orlando firefighter. He's Orlando fire chief now. He's chief over there at Orlando. And, you know, and then you get, Jeff Huggins is one of them. Oh, hold on. We got him on.
We're getting, right now, Danny Alice dialed in. Danny's calling.
Yeah, Danny's calling in.
I was just talking to people after this happened. I mean, it's hit everybody hard. And so when I found out we were coming down here and we were going to be on the podcast, I was just seeing if anybody wanted to call in and say anything, share a story, keep it somewhat lighthearted, even though it's a topic about mental health.
You know, even talk about whatever you want to talk about it, you know? I mean, what your feelings are and, you know, the things that are there, you know, it's just... Man, I just don't know. You know what I mean? And I think that it's something that we should continue to talk about till the help improves.
Yeah, 100%. Why is it still not taken as seriously as it should?
I like one of the things that was ridiculous. You okay there, baby? You good?
Yeah, we're going to try.
Cool. I hear something.
Yeah.
Hey, can you hear us, buddy? Danny? Are you there?
Hello?
I can hear him, but I can hear whatever's happening back there. Can you hear us? Does it work better if it's on a phone?
In the meantime,
yeah.
With that background noise,
yeah. Can you cut the back?
Can you hear us? Can you hear us?
I heard that.
There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Danny, what's up, buddy?
What's up, man?
Man, you know I've been better, but you know it's a
tough week.
Long week, bud.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, for sure.
You know so. Oh, there he is. Hey, man. Look at that mustache right there. That's gorgeous. Ridiculous.
That thing is gorgeous.
That mustache looks illegal. You know?
Probably is.
So, you know, we were talking about, like, just the epidemic that it is right now, the suicides in the fire service. You know, and you know, we also want to share some stories about Jeff and stuff like that, you know. But... What do you attribute, like, the amount of mental health stuff that's going on now that you're seeing? Because you're still there. You're still on the job. You're on the job right now.
Yeah. Personally, I think it's death by a thousand cuts. Yeah. It's we live in a world today that we're just bombarded with information from every angle, especially in the fire service. We get calls for everything doing what we do. There is a lot of issues in culture and society that I feel like we need some help with as a society. And I think we're starting to see the repercussions of it. A lot of people don't know what to do. So they call us. There's a big gap in things. So for me, it seems, you know, the trauma of calls and the stress of the job in general has always been there. But when you start adding in other things on top of that,
yeah,
it's too much for anybody to take.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the morale is pretty low too around most
a lot of agencies.
Yeah, it's so insane. It's not just Orlando. It's a lot of spots where the morale is like horrible. You know. I think you got a you have a really unique perspective in things. You came from the Seminole Tribe Fire Department for a little bit, where you're called to do all kinds of things that aren't even firefighting related sometimes over there. But we taught a class that we had a bunch of those guys there, and I've not seen. It's the first. It was so shocking to see happy firemen, and that I have not seen in a while. Like, these guys were getting paid to go to the class overtime. Yep. The class was paid for, and they seemed just so happy. And I'm like, where the fuck do you guys work? Because everybody in this class is miserable.
Yep.
You know, and it was pretty funny to see those guys, because they were just, they're like, hey, we got new people. They're giving us stuff, you know, and making sure that they're doing the best they can for us. But, like, you would hear stories about that place there where you have to go get, you know, like the legitimate animal out of a tree type shit and all this stuff. And, you know, my washer doesn't work, you know. Yeah. That, you know, that's like, but, you know, I remember Danny coming from there to Orlando, you know, as a new dude. And just, you know, I think Orlando is one of those places where you show up, you could be pretty fucking so ecstatic, and then you could be pretty disillusioned also pretty quickly. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that was something that you saw when you got there.
Yeah, so coming from the tribe, when I worked there, it was a really young department. So we had a mix of guys who had done some time at other departments and a lot of guys getting their first taste of the fire department. So I think there was a little bit of, like, hey, that's how other departments do it, this and that. So coming to another department that had been established for, 125 years, I think, by the time I got hired here,
yeah.
I realized, one, there's a lot of things that are the same anywhere you go. But yeah, there was definitely some big differences working. And a lot of that for me was the station I was at with Seminole wasn't in Hollywood. They have some urban stuff, but it was a pretty big difference going from rural to an urban setting.
Yeah.
You know, in the feel when you were on the reservation where I was is like kind of a family feel, small town, you know, and then you go to working in a downtown areas.
Yeah. Dude.
Complete
opposite, man. And you know, you get some guys that come through, man, that are like so unique. You know, like Danny's one of these dudes that, like, you knew he was gonna do a lot of cool shit in the city. You know, he was gonna be, you know, he was a guy, man. You I remember, I'm like, man, that dude is got it. I mean, me and Josh even talked about it, remember?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this dude's gonna be a good diver, he's gonna be a good high angle guy. You're gonna do the stuff, man. So I always, you know, was very proud to be next to you as a firefighter, you know. And it's so, you know, the I was telling these guys before, like, the thing with Jeff, he was like an explorer. When I ran the explorer program for like a year, and he was one of those guys that was in that explorer group, that most of those guys became firefighters, you know. With Spencer and you know, the Blow brothers that work for Orange County and stuff, and that, and you know, and obviously I worked for his dad for a very short period of time before he retired. Like, it was a kick in the fucking stomach this week, man.
That's what most people felt like, felt sick to their stomach. That's how I felt.
Yeah, I just could not shake it. And it was just one of those things that, you know, I actually had called Josh for something unrelated, and he goes, I know what you're calling me for. And I go, what the fuck are you talking about? Because I was just not even, I didn't know. And, you know, you already had heard. And And then, man, dude, I could not stop crying for hours there in the office. I was just fucking sitting there, just bawling my eyes out. And then I couldn't think what to call to, you know, I had to call Timmy and I had to call you. You know what I mean? Because I knew, I said, man, I got to talk to Danny and make sure you're okay. You know?
Well, I got to say, man, that's probably one of the biggest compliments I have in my fire service career is a compliment from you, because you're one of those guys I hold up in extremely high respect, as I think most people, right?
Nah, man. I always just looked at you as a, you know, just like a brother, man. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of people that come through and then throw that word around, but you're one of those guys that you're like a brother in the service. And like, I mean, and like, I see you in all these little spots and, shit. I remember one time you were moving meat around, like from like station doing the fire conference and shit. You know what I mean? And it's like, I'm like, damn, dude, you are the example of what the firefighter should be. You know what I mean? And that right there, no bullshit, man. But you know, you're at Dakota's wedding. I see you there. You know what I mean? And then it is just like, man, I love seeing this guy every time, because he's the guy. You know, he's got to wear a tuxedo or whatever it is. I'm here. You know, he's scuba diving, cutting shit up on the water. You know what I mean? And it's like, when you needed the guy, that's the dude that was going to show up. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, and Jeff was one of those guys. Jeff was definitely one of those dudes that's going to be there for you, you know, regardless. He's one of the last, he drove me on my last day on the fire department.
Yeah. I love seeing Jeff roll up on any scene I was on already on, or if I showed up on the scene and knew he was there. It was just, you know, it was better. It was a better time.
Yeah, I think too. Like, I'm like, dude, this is not a smiling situation. He always had that smile on the call. Yeah. You know, people are all fucked up. He's just got the thing. It's like, do you want me to bag it?
Yeah, what do you want me to do?
What do you want me to bag him? Get away from there. You know, and it's like, it was a cool dude to have. Me and Lewis, he would crack us up there. You know, Lewis, he looks Chinese when he's laughing. He can't fucking see shit. Can't see you know, so, but.
But he was, you know, a lot of people didn't give him credit for his EMT skills. He actually had EMT skills.
He was good.
Everybody, downplayed, in my opinion. And one of my last year with the fire department, and I talked about this all the time, every class I ever taught anyone ever, because it was so true, and he deserved the credit for it. So there was a code we had right in the middle of the highway, and the other funny thing about that one, and I swear to God, this is a true story, the OPD cop who will remain nameless while this guy was prone was doing CPR on his back. We all saw it. Four of us saw it, including Lieutenant McClay, who will not lie.
Yeah.
He will vouch. Anyways, so I told Jeff, you know, jump out, because I was an engineer and I had to do, I hated that. I hated it. You always had to do something with the truck before you could run to the patient.
Yeah, yeah.
But by the time I get there, the guy is obviously fucked up. He needs to be intubated. And I told Jeff to handle the airway. Here's a BBM. I always taped an OPA to the mask so that people would think, let's do you even put this in. So I tell him, here, bag the guy. And then you're rushing. Everyone's always rushing because you know whoever's at the head bagging is not getting good air exchange. Yeah. They're not getting chest rise and fall. Hurry the fuck up. Let's go. It's all for show right over there. At least that's the way I thought of it.
Yeah.
But when I looked back at him, I swear to this day, I say it's the only time I've ever seen on a code that somebody, a single person, BBM, one person was getting chest rise and fall. OPA also, chest rise and fall. Chest rise and fall with a smile, with that smile on his face.
smile
on his face, looking at me. Yeah. And I said, I swear to you, I said, fuck yeah. And I had a thing where I high-five people once. So I high-fived him. He squeezed, let go, hit me the five, went back on the bag.
That's the funniest shit.
And it actually calmed me just a little bit. Even not that I was panicked, but it gave me a little bit of, he's got that airway right now. Yeah. Let me take a time to set everything up the way I really, really like it. Like, you know, I even elevated the dude on a bag. I put him on a backboard and elevated him on a bag because it was easier, because I didn't want to lay on the, who wants to lay on the road?
Yeah.
You know, like,
I've
you don't need.
Story
it was a great, and it was great. And so I started telling people that, and people didn't believe me, and I just kept saying it.
He was good. He was good at that stuff, man. I remember talking to him when he was brand new, and his dad, I told him, you know, his dad changed my life. like, I got two moments in my life that I can go back in and, like, go, yep, that's definitely not what I want to do. Is one of the times my brother Michael challenged my dad, and my dad knocked him unconscious. Like, he was vomiting. And it's, like, and that changed my life. I never wanted an ass kicking like that. But one time when I was an explorer, I heard Jeff's dad just completely, they used to call it a hugging-isation, is whatever they would call it. His dad just fucking got into this dude's ass, you know, who should remain nameless, but sounds like Ray Dixon. And like, it changed my life. I never wanted to get screamed at like that at the fire department ever again. Like, his dad was that dude, man. And, you know, but yeah, like, there's people like that that make memories in your life. You know what I mean? Like, there's just those people. And this, you know how, I don't know how you forget the good in a tragedy like this. You can't forget the good in a tragedy like this. So all you can remember is this, you know. I'm sure you got a bunch of stories with him and stuff, you know.
Yeah. Man, to say that Jeff was larger than life was an understatement.
Yeah.
I mean, that dude literally has friends all over the world because he had such a big heart. And, just to back up Josh, like, he did not get enough credit in some ways. You know, man, when it came, he was an excellent fireman, a great lieutenant. And I do have a lot of stories, but it's one of those things I've been searching to find the right ones to share.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because there's a lot of, you know, we were close friends outside of the fire department. You know, I met Huggy. You know, we were young firemen down at Station 1, and just to show you his love for the job and how eager he was, man, we used to go. We didn't really have a lieutenant at the time when we first got to Station 1. We kind of had some floating lieutenants in there. It was a little for a few months there. So he, you know, we didn't have anybody holding us to go do training or anything like that. So we would grab our radios and go walk down Church Street. We'd be knocking on doors and doing our own inspections.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Falling through the attics of those old buildings. And
that's amazing.
What a White Buffalo was.
Yeah.
Ceviche and all that. Yeah, it's man, I'm still trying to wrap my head around everything because it was such a shock, and it just goes to show you never know what's going on with someone.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and one of the things that I've said before, and I've said it on the show, you can go on episode 2 and listen to it, you know, like when I was going to do it, it is the most euphoric and happy I've ever been in my whole entire life. Like, when I just made the decision to actually, you know, hey, this is over. It's going to be over in this long, you know, and I made this plan to end. And man, was I happy. Like, I say it all the time, you know, it was one of those things. And then the strangest angel reached out, you know, at the last, that moment that made me, knock me off that route, you know, doing it and stuff like that. So it's one of those things, but the help isn't there for us right now. It's not there.
At least not supported, not pushed.
It's definitely not there from any, like structured point. Like, the city doesn't care.
Yeah, I mean, no.
I'll go ahead and say that. Like, they do not care. But the people do, and a lot more people are becoming aware of, one, they're not alone. You know, like, I've been through a lot over the last year, and I'm not quite ready to share or go into any of that stuff, but it's really opened my eyes to, like, a new purpose I have going forward to help raise, not just raise awareness, but talk to people. And, like Huggy, for example, was just, dude, Huggy Bear was like the perfect name for him because he was a big dude. He was scary if, you know, like, if you pissed him off, which was really hard to do, but he was like such a soft person, man. When he put his arm around you, like give you a good hug, and like, so you just don't see somebody like with that stature, that aggressiveness for the job, not aggression in like personality, but like a go-getter when it comes to the job. You don't see somebody like that as having that kind of struggle. And the more I've gone through the stuff that I've gone through, like I can't tell you how many people that I've met over the last 6 months that have been like, dude, I had a gun in my mouth. I had a gun to my head. I was ready to do it. Like, you are not alone.
No.
You know, and one thing I have learned is it will pass, you know, but you gotta, I don't know. For me, I was trying and trying to help myself for a long time. I was finally forced to get help, and I am so thankful that I did. You know, it's one of those things that I don't know what the stigma is about it now that I've been through it, now that I've gotten help. It's like, dude, just talk to somebody, call a friend.
Yeah.
You know, there are resources beginning to be put together.
Absolutely. You know, like it's this thing when you're at the other end of it, like when you come through it, it just opens up your mind, man. Like you go, why the fuck did I wait so long? You know what I mean? But you've got to be ready to get help.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like everything's got to be stripped away from you to get it. That rock bottom is what helps you get there, you know? What's the department been offering right now for people, though, since this has happened, and anything, if anything?
From an official level, I'm not sure. So we had some guys from Dade came here with their dogs today and talked to us. And, you know, it's basically just giving us some resources. And I don't know if that's from the benevolent or if that's city sanctioned, but they did put us out of service to talk to them. And they gave us a bunch of resources. So it is really encouraging to see that there are these resources starting to be developed. You know, as much as like it'd be nice to have, say, the city, your employer, you know, whether your fire department, whatever, have these kinds of things. We got to be there for each other. Like, I think the support thing is the way to go, you know? And, man, just kudos and hats off, like, to guys like Jeff Orange who have been out putting this stuff together and working on this stuff for years, you know, against the grain, against
unsupported,
you know, who didn't think it was real, you know? And I've talked to some other friends of ours who recently are like, I'm not really having issues, but you know, I'm thinking I should get ahead of it. And I can't agree more, because it's like when things start to go wrong, everything hits you at once, you know, and it can become a spiral. And for me, you know, I dealt with it, you know, I dealt with it by, you know, not the right means, not healthy ways to deal with it. And those things will make it worse, because you're just stuffing it down until, you know, for me, it all came out sideways. You know, I tried to hold it in. I tried to be a man. I tried to be strong. And, you know, eventually it's going to come out. And there's nothing wrong with talking to somebody. I've had, I mean, just amazing results. Like you were saying, just once you get through it, you realize, like, man, what took me so long to do this?
Oh, it's unbelievable, man. Like, you know, the therapy works for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I go to it. Like, Trish actually gets upset when I try not to go to therapy and shit, you know, like, but I have to do it. Like, I need it. Like, I have to get it out somehow, you know, and that's just the healthiest way to do it, you know, for me, you know, I mean.
Come out one way or another.
Yeah, other stuff works for other people, but man, I've got to go and talk to Ms. Wendy and get it the fuck out of my body, you know. And
poison.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but you know, I remember trying to get Josh help. The craziest thing was, like, you got to call this IFF number to try to get you help. Remember when we were doing that?
Yeah, we got a sign saying nothing. I don't even remember what happened.
Well, what happened was they sent a bill. Like, for $25,000.
What for?
Like, our buddy. That was the price. Like, our firefighter price was 25 grand.
Yeah, I remember that now.
You remember that? Yeah, like, yeah, we're all ready to go. I'm like,
to go down and, like, be in part of
a program, like, or something. We can't pay this $25,000. Like, we can't afford this, you know? And it was crazy. And that was the end of the help that he was going to get, you know? And it, so we couldn't do that. And the next thing,
and I didn't even really want it at that time anyway, so it was like, to me, it was good, awesome, I don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, you didn't want to like go for it.
Yeah.
But it took 4 years. Mm-hmm. You know, it took 4 years to be for you to be here. Bro, it taking, you know, it's a fucking miracle that you're in St. Augustine today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I did what I was supposed to do. You know?
Yeah,
I did
absolutely.
What they told me to do. I did the therapy. I did everything I was supposed to do. And little by little, it gets better, you know? And for me, it was just stay busy. The more time you have where you're sitting around and you're in your head, that's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good, especially if you're battling any type of depression. Do something. Just do anything.
Yeah.
Go walk around the block. Do something.
Yeah.
Occupy your brain with something else, because when you sit there and it just festers.
I remember you're just being pissed off at the TV. Like,
because yeah, I used to just
like
sit
you
there
was just pissed at the TV. Like, you call me and you just tell me the fucking news for the day.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what these motherfuckers are doing right now? And I'm like, what are you watching? And he's just upset about it.
I had a crazy CNN news stint. Yeah. Yeah. I was watching all the news channels.
Yeah.
I'm
he
like,
became
the fucking country's horrible. What the hell is going on? Everything's fucked.
He became, you know? Like, yeah. He became Anderson Cooper for a little bit.
I don't even know what's true anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then you just go from one to the other, man. And it was just the craziest. But you know, like I said the other day when this whole thing happened, and I called Danny, but then I also called Tim. And I called Tim because I felt really bad about ignoring him for the last little bit. I've ignored him. Like, I haven't, you know, at some point it was like, thank God for Gooch. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Gooch is a good man. And then, like, I remember talking to Gooch and going, like, we got to fucking separate. You get him and I get this one. And you know what I mean? And it was just like, it was too much. Like, I couldn't keep doing both of them, you know, both of you guys, you know, and it's just, but damn it, like, I loved him, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, and I just want him to be better. And I know that you, Danny, been helping him out a lot, actually, by reaching out to him.
Cause, yeah, he's really looking forward to hanging out with anybody.
Yeah.
I talked to him today. Yeah. He's looking forward to hanging out with anyone.
I love the way that dude's mind thinks when we used to do like Clash of Clans, and he gets like, I mean, I never got into the EMS competitions with you guys, but I know, man, like, I could see his brain work when he's like, mission, you know. Some of us are like dogs, dude, like the smartest high energy dogs. If they have a mission, they're the best workers, dude. But if you leave them alone with nothing to do, they're gonna tear up the couch.
Oh yeah,
you
know? That's Timmy. That's Timmy right there. Yeah. Dude, Tim was the best addition to the competition team when we got him. Like, he showed, like, basically, we told him if he passed his paramedic test that he could be on the team.
Yeah.
The day he passed his paramedic thing, me and Josh in Seattle competing, and he goes, dude, I'm on the team now.
He called me. I'm on the team.
I'm like, yeah, I passed. Like, and that dude showed up, and we never really lost with him. You know, he came in at the time where we had just learned how to play the game really well.
We went through years of losing.
Yeah,
bad.
And then Tim showed up. He's going to fucking finals. He's getting, you know, second places.
Trophies. He's upset.
Trophies. Yeah.
He's upset if we're not in the finals.
Yeah. I'm like, you fucker. You don't even know what it is. People didn't sit next to me and Josh in these motherfucking things.
Literally, you're sequestered for 8 hours, and we would have a certain table. Nobody would fucking talk to us.
Nobody talked to us.
You have 8 fucking hours. We're the only people in the room no one talked to. You really don't want to talk to us?
Yeah, oh, man. Shit, and then Tim shows up, and guess what? We got all kinds of friends. The minute Tim shows up, like, he made friends with everybody. You're like, he's got everybody's number. You know what I mean? And he's like, hey, Shay said he could go on his boat. I'm like, Shay who? Yeah. So, you know, that's the thing with him. He's such a friendly. If Tim's got something, everybody's participating in it. You know what I mean? Good or bad, you're participating with the shit. And I fucking could not think. I go, man, I have not called him in months. And I called him in months, and I had to talk, you know, and it took 4 phone calls, but, you know, he's like, I'll call you in a minute, man. I need a minute. And I go, well, cool. You're going to fucking call me today. And, you know, but he did mention you a lot, Danny. And, like, Timmy's concerned about you. You know what I mean? Like, I go, man, I mean, he's a good guy. And, you know, but you have definitely made a big impact on him because me and Josh can see that. Like, he's trying to change. He's trying to do things.
He wants to. Yeah, he a little mentioned bit today volunteering at the fire museum. He mentioned that to me today.
Yeah.
Just to get back into things. You know? Yeah. Get closer to the fire department.
You know, there's people that get disabled and want to, that are barely disabled and want to leave the fire department. You know, they're trying to fake it. But Timmy's a guy that fucking killed him to leave the fires. Timmy loved that job.
Now is that he's not working there. That's his demon. Yep. He's not working there anymore.
Timmy loved that job. Like that was his shit. He loved it more than fucking me and you ever did. You know what I mean? And it was like, when that got taken away from him, it was horrible.
Yeah, you didn't know what to do.
You know, and then people, when you leave, you know, the department, you miss the guys that are there, you know what I'm saying? But life goes on. The department doesn't shut down because you're gone. And you, I'm glad I got to do the time that I did at Orlando. But I'm also really happy on the end of it. But one of the hardest things is to even go to the fire station.
I've still never been.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been since 2017. I have not set foot, even in the city, actually.
Yeah, well,
now that I think about it.
You know, I don't know if you are capable of speaking about that, but that's one of the things that you fucking can't do.
Yeah, it gives me anxiety. It just gives me anxiety. Yeah, going through the city is one thing, but if I was to go to a firehouse, I'd have anxiety for sure. Unless I knew it was like Danny and some other people that was okay, you know, it'd make it a little bit better. But yeah, it's a lot of anxiety, man. You know, because at one point I felt like, you know, everything was, you feel like everyone's against you, and, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, and Danny, You obviously you still love the job, right? I mean, it's still this thing, but are you looking forward to the day you don't have to go there anymore? Or?
I do. You know, that's a tough question right now, because of everything I've been through. And I won't get into it, but you know, basically I was on the edge of burnout, or I'm burned out or whatever, you know, and I finally, you know, it was a hard thing for me to do, to leave my station, because I didn't want to leave there. I was assigned to engine 2, but I could see my attitude changing. I could see some of my decisions were slipping. And obviously things outside of the job affect you.
Yeah.
And I had a lot on my plate outside of the job. So right now, I feel like I'm being called in another direction. I'm hoping maybe getting floating and getting some rest, getting through some of this stuff will help kind of bring back that passion for the job. I still am glad that I get to come here. But, you know, just to be honest, man, life is tough right now. So there's not a whole lot of moments where I'm just like thrilled about anything, but I know I got to put one foot in front of the other,
one day at a
time, get through it, and I get these little bits of sunshine. You know, God throws me a little gift here and there, a little, you know, nugget of that I'm on the right track and things are gradually getting better. And I know, you know, I've been up and down mentally for years, and like I was saying earlier, I know it will pass. There were times where I was convinced, you know, you couldn't tell me otherwise, that it was not going to pass, but eventually it did, you know, and over the years I'm doing better and better about managing that. But to answer your question, I'm hoping, like I said, once I get through some things, you know, if I'm happy, I'll work till I'm 30, you know, 30 years on the job.
Yeah.
But if not, I feel like I'm being called in another direction. And, again, I don't know exactly what that means, but I know that God is going to use what I've been through for good to help other people.
Absolutely.
That's the best you can do with that.
You know, my brother Jason with the one eye, Marquez, he says this, you know, he always says this shit, you know, God's plan B is better than your plan A. You know what I mean? Which I'm sure he got from somewhere else. You know, but it sounds pretty original when he says it. And But it's true. Like, you don't ever really know what your direction could be. You know what I'm saying? But I can tell you this, bro. Your experiences that you've gone through and stuff are for a reason. And I think that, like, you, the floating is great because now you get to see a bigger part of the group and you get to share your fucking shit with a lot more people. You know what I'm saying? And I think that those experiences are going to come. You're going to save somebody's life with them.
It also helps when you're trying to help other people. Yeah. All the experiences you've had, if you've been there, you know?
Yeah. You can tell people, you know, you can go and, you know, you talk about, I think there's a lot more you can do with what you've gone through. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's, you guys are lifesavers.
This happening has made me think a lot more about that.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys are lifesavers because you've survived something that now you can share with somebody else.
Yeah. Because there is hope. There is healing. There is a way out. And I'm not saying it's easy. It is very hard and you have to really humble yourself, you know, but little by little, it can feel like moving grains of sand, but you look over one day, you got a pile, you know, next thing you know, you got a whole scoop. Before you know it, you'll have a beach.
Yes, sir.
Nothing that any of us have ever earned has been easy. The easy things have never come out the right way. And if God gives me the opportunity to be alive today, I have every opportunity to do it better than I did yesterday. And to reflect on the things that I did, maybe not the right way yesterday, and how I can be better, and maybe I can affect somebody else.
Yeah.
Maybe I can pass it off. Maybe I can just smile at somebody and change their day.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, man. You know, but, man, Danny, it's a pleasure having you on the show, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks for being available.
I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, man. And, you know, and like I said, brother, I love you, and I'm so happy that you're, you know, at this point. But anytime you need anything, you know, you just got to call, and I'll be on the way.
I appreciate that, guys. Yeah. And like I said, man, the compliments you gave me coming from you, man, they're some of the highest. And I hope what I shared today helps somebody. I would like to be a resource for, if you know, you guys know my personal story. Yeah. If you think I can help somebody, we answer calls for a living at all hours of the night for any given thing. I got no problem picking up the phone for a friend. You know, I'm not a professional or anything. Maybe life will lead me that way and that'll come. But, you know, in the meantime, likewise to all of you and anyone you know that you think might relate to my story, send them my way.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Absolutely. And I want to hook you up with this group called Echo. I think that'd be a good thing for you to come to. And I'll get with you and I'll give you the information because they have a hotline for air medical critical care people, you know, a suicide hotline, but it's the only thing in existence. And I think that the more people from the EMS fire service that we bring to their conference and stuff, it's going to help that hotline grow to something that is for everybody on the job. You know what I mean?
They're working on
like
doing that for ground.
Yeah. So I'm going to get you the info, bro, and you can come stay with us up in it'll be in Richmond, Virginia and stuff, but I think it's be some that they need to hear from more fire service people. You know what I mean? And like I said, it needs to grow because we don't have it right now. And these peer support people like the Jeff Oranges and stuff like that, they need to be supported.
Yes.
And they're not being supported right now. They're doing this out of the kindness of their fucking heart. But there needs to be some fucking support from the fire department. Not just saying Orlando, but everybody needs to support this shit.
Right.
Like these.
No, sorry to interrupt, but that's a point right there, man, is like everybody wants someone else to do it. We want the city to provide us this. And this is not just fire department, it's everyone. They're like, do this. We have to be there for each other. We have to love. You know, you have to care. You have to, like he said, smile. You know, I totally took that for granted for too long, how much impact that can make just saying, hey man, how you doing? To somebody, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like this is a wake up call, guys. For this, two of the happiest people that you could probably fucking point out to in that department. Smiling one day, the next day they're dead. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, with Jeff and, you know, and then Chief when he did it, you know, those things, Matt, Chief Negley, like those things are fucking edges in my mind. And it's like, we've got to fix this somehow or another, you know? So, brother, I'll be in contact with you for sure.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, be safe tonight, man, out there.
Yeah, you guys too, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Love y'all.
See you, Danny.
Love you guys, man. Love you too, brother.
All right, peace.
Peace.
So, good stuff.
Yeah, that's a hard one, man, with him on there. You know what I mean? He breaks my fucking heart with that shit, you know, and it's just...
He's still dealing with it, you know?
Yeah, he's on the positive side. But he's on the positive side, but you know how that feels.
Oh, yeah. You're on the positive side of things, but you're not out of it.
You ain't out of it. And you never...
You're not out of the woods yet.
No. And you know, man, like, I can tell that, you know, first of all, it's the most excited I've ever been to see you. You're here, you know what I mean? Like, you're fucking here. And then you're at the competition. I know it's not easy for you.
Yeah, it's all right. It wasn't that bad. I didn't see a lot of it today.
Yeah.
But no, it wasn't too bad.
You know, but, man, I'm so fucking happy. You're